welcome to another episode of Younger by the Minute. I'm your host, Jamie Spicer, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Jennifer Spicer.
And welcome to another episode. And today we are going to be talking about, drop it to them,
the importance of nutrition and how it really, I think, sometimes is a little, I would say, misjudged on how important it is when it comes to weight loss and honestly, overall function. And we're recording this podcast at 6 o'clock at night. We've had a full day and we've just had a couple things come up. It's Wednesday in the last 3 days that have just really made us switch gears and decide that this is the topic that we wanted to choose for this week's podcast because it's very prevalent in our patient population. And honestly, as a healthcare provider, I can tell you it's an epidemic. It's something that is so psychological that we really can't figure out how we can change our eating habits, but that's why it's the industry that it is. And it makes billions and billions of dollars and people still struggle to this day. And basically what sparked us wanting to change this is that I had a patient today that she's a wonderful patient. She really is bought into our concept and our practice, and she touches all areas of her practice. She's an aesthetic patient. She's a precision medicine patient, and we optimize her thyroid, her hormones. She's on a GLP. She's a nutrition patient, and she's seeing our registered dietitian. She's worked with you, Jamie, and she also trains with our personal trainer. So she like literally is the best patient, and she does follow everything. But it was funny. What she said to me today was, I have all these friends that are also taking some of the same things I'm taking, but they're not seeing the results that I'm seeing. And she goes, and I keep telling them because they're not doing it the precision way. And I don't want to come off wrong. Our medical model is the belief that everything has to work together and in conjunction, and nutrition is the base of that. And so I think that there's a lot of people out there that are on a GLP, aka Mounjaro, Ozempic, tirzepatide, semaglutide, whatever you want to call it, Wegovy, or are also doing things like phentermine or whatever, and they're not seeing these results. And I think it just boils down to people may have the wrong idea about it, thinking that the medication is a quick fix, or the provider that they're getting it from isn't either capable or setting them completely up for success.
And I guess what I'll add to that too is even we talk about, we've talked about how nutrition is even a core part of the skincare.
Yeah.
How gut health and hormonal imbalance can be some of the root causes of acne and skin conditions that break out. But kind of going off what you're saying, I do agree with you. And I think the fact is people have to understand that GLPs, any type of fat burner, are even like going to the medication side of phentermine, that they augment the nutrition. Like they help the nutrition program get the ultimate result. It does not offset the poor dieting, lack of exercise or anything like that. So the belief system is that they're going to go on these things thinking that this is going to get them the end result of getting the body fat off or the weight loss, what they're wanting to do. And in some cases, maybe jumpstart them to be motivated to do these things. And I've even brought this up with HRT, that I understand that the model is optimize their testosterone and that will get them the drive to go to the gym. But then like I said at that age management conference, if that was the case, then why is 70 to 80% of the people that go to the gym still look like they barely go to the gym? Because they don't change the way they eat. They think that training will out-train the poor dieting choices. And then we get into, like we talked about today, was people will say, I eat healthy. And I understand that they might eat healthier than their friend or their parents. And I understand that in their mind, they think that they're eating healthy. But then my question always to the client is, if that was the case, then why are we having this conversation? Why are you having insulin resistance? Why are you having cholesterol problems? Why are we having body fat composition issues? Why are we having excessive inches around the waistline? If what you've been doing is what you consider clean eating, if it was working, then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And I think you hit a lot of points dead on. But I also think what people need to understand is by the time that we're tired of looking the way that we do or feeling the way we feel, we've been feeling that way or looking that way for longer than what we wanted. And then the body has been struggling for even longer before that.
Correct.
And it could be related to adrenal fatigue because you've been too stressed and that's why you're insulin resistant. And if you've been stressed, then chances are your stomach acid's too low, which then means that you could be eating all the right things, but your gut microbiome might be off and you're dealing with dysbiosis, which we need to clean up. Or it's post-COVID and there's something that needs to be rebalanced. And I understand there's a lot of doctors in the family care setting or in the hospital setting. They only have so much time with each patient and they're limited to what they can do, which is why I love our collaborative because she does refer to us for people that need extra handholding and whatnot. But at the same time, it's even in the days where I was competing or we were dealing before we were doing precision medicine and precision nutrition like this in a more medical setting, you were having to talk to people all the time about going on stimulants and fat burners that were over the counter.
Correct.
So people have an idea that I need a fat burner or I need something to help me lose weight or I need to starve myself, which is just going to stress the body out if stress has been the issue the whole time.
And downregulate the thyroid even more.
You're going to tax your adrenals. You're going to further downregulate your thyroid, like you said. And then if you're looking at hormones, for example, take a man. My last patient was a male who's dealing with some testosterone deficiency, but he's also dealing with adrenal fatigue and secondary hypothyroidism. And I do know this patient does eat well. I don't know what his stress level is and how that's affecting him. And so we have to work on all things, gut health, adrenal health, thyroid health, and hormone health to really maximize his outcome.
One, to take a step back, going back to what you had said, working on stomach acid, right? Mm-hmm. Some people have poor stomach acid, which is why they aren't been prescribed a protein pump inhibitor or why they're being told to take Tums, because they're taking something to address the acidic food that they're eating, not the fact that they lack the acidity in the stomach to break down the acidic food that they're trying to eat. So again, we go back to that client. Maybe this will resonate with someone, or maybe this will be the aha moment for you, is you do eat clean. Like, say you are the eggs and oatmeal, chicken and rice, chicken and sweet potato person during the week, but you know what? You like to go out on the weekends and you like to have a couple of drinks and you don't vary off the plan too far. Remember, alcohol reduces down stomach acid. So here you are, I eat clean, I do everything right, but you fail to realize that you're contributing to the low stomach acid on the weekend. So what do you know? What knowledge do you possess? Or how do you correct that problem when it comes Monday? Do you know to add lemon water? Do you know that might help bring that up? Do you know to take HCL for a couple of days to get that back up? Do you know that you could maybe take a pinch of baking soda in your water for a couple of days to neutralize the acidity in the stomach? You know, there's things that you don't know. And that's why we really encourage people that you are where you are because of what you've been doing and what you know. And then until you educate yourself or hire someone to educate yourself, you're only going to know what you know. And so then when you come off these GLPs or you come off that fat burner, you end up being right back where you were. It only takes a matter of time before you end up being insulin resistant again, because you go back to what you knew and what you thought you were doing was healthy. But what you fail to realize, that's why you were in someone's chair discussing about your hormones or getting on a GLP to begin with, because it wasn't one meal. It wasn't one drink. It was what you've been doing over the last 2 or 3 years that has now gotten you to this point. So again, I know how to change a light bulb in a house. I can even hang a ceiling fan, but I can tell you, I don't know enough to wire a house electrically. So again, I would have to invest in some education and figure out how to do that. So that's where I think where people miss the point is, when you hire someone to teach you how to eat correctly, teach you how to counteract weekends and how to recover and detox with those things, you're investing in an education for yourself is what you're doing. The big thing I think that going on with it is make sure that if you're going to make that investment, because this stuff is expensive, those GLPs and everything is expensive, that you make sure that you make the full investment, so therefore you get the full benefit of what you're spending. And if you're struggling to find the money for a GLP, then make sure that you make the full investment to make sure that you're getting the most out of that GLP.
And if you're looking at it like that, what we like to do is by doing everything all in conjunction, which is going to fix the root cause, whether that be, say, if they need their thyroid optimized, we're talking about that. Say, if they have gut dysbiosis, we're talking about that. We're also talking about how they can learn what their own bio-individuality needs by working with a registered dietitian to see, okay, maybe this carb choice is better for me, or this protein choice is better for me, or I do this or I do that. And it's those small little shifts, like they say, 2 millimeter shifts, or small hinges swing big doors. But by doing that in conjunction, you can actually keep your dosing of the GLP lower, and it stretches itself over a longer period of time. So when you're looking at the investment as a total in the end, you're not that much more out of pocket, and you're gaining knowledge, which is everything. You're understanding your body more. You're understanding how you can eat, what decisions you can make. For example, Jamie and I eat very clean. We do all the things right. One thing that we can't mitigate is stress, and then age, also hormone imbalance, things like that. But when we do make the choices to deviate off the plan, we have things in our arsenal and in our tool belt to set us up so we can come right back and rebound right back right away. And believe it or not, we just had to go through our own SIBO, or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth protocol, because it just happens. The foods are made differently. The way that we live, the way that the nutrients are decreasing in our foods, we're just not getting what we need. And we're having a harder time really getting over those times that we do deviate off the plan.
And we've talked about this before too in the past, but I'm going to bring it up because maybe other people haven't listened to that episode. But if you're going to invest in all this skincare for acne and everything, and do laser treatments and do peels and stuff like that, if you're not still getting to the root cause, again, you'll spend the money on that, but you won't spend the money to address what is the root cause of the problem, or at least could be the root cause. I'll go there with it. I'm not going to say it is, but I will say could definitely be contributing to that problem.
Yeah. And I think what people realize is when you finally follow a nutrition plan and then you have these extra things like a GLP or pharmaceutical grade supplements and things like that, you can actually live a lifestyle that's a lot more balanced than you probably ever have in your past. Because for me as a female, thinking, oh, I need to restrict, or deprive myself of certain things to get skinny, that actually never worked for me. And in fact, when I did that, I was the biggest I ever was.
Right.
And now I have much more freedom, and I do utilize everything that we offer, but I do it safely. And that's the other thing. These GLPs are going to come back with some serious negative ideas about them because they are being overused, they are being overdosed, and they are being done without guidance. And people are having severe GI upset, which then is going to further cause more gut dysbiosis if you have it, because the side effects of GLPs are heartburn, which therefore people are going to have to eat Tums or take Nexium or PPI, which then Jamie said it down further downregulates stomach acid, which then perpetuates the problem of bacterial fungal overgrowth in the small intestine, which then doesn't allow for digestion, nutrient absorption, and a whole slew of other things. And when the gut is off, then your hormones are going to start to downregulate. Your mental health status is going to change. Your skin is going to look different. And then when you're losing weight as rapidly as people are when they're misusing it, you're dealing with sagging skin, you're dealing with fat loss, and it's not good.
I will go out and say that probably 90% of the people that I've worked with over all the years, the major changes that I've made in people is, one, they've all eaten more food. There's been a significant increase in caloric uptake, and also addressing the gut. Mm-hmm. Those have been the two biggest things, which means that we do food identification. We figure out what is contributing to that, and we fix the stomach acid within that stomach. I can think of a competitor I'm working with right now. She had a very unhealthy relationship with food. She was very afraid of carbs. She wasn't eating over 40 grams of carbs in a day, and she wasn't eating over 1,300 calories in a day. And she was doing an hour and a half worth of cardio, and it was training. She now does cardio 30 minutes four times a week. She's now up to 180 grams of carbs in a day. Her caloric intake is almost 1,900 on a cut for a plan. And she has an extremely healthy relationship with food. I've shown her over and over and over again, because every time I gave her a little bit more food, she lose weight and leaned out. I gave her a little bit more food, she leaned out. I gave her a burger and fries, she was scared to death to eat it. She dropped weight the next day, leaned out, tightened up. There's another girl that me and you both shared. She saw me first for nutrition and came to see you afterward with blood work. This patient had been to see many doctors, all the way to the point to where one neurosurgeon said that he didn't have the proof, even through the scans, didn't show anything, but in his professional opinion, believed that she either had lupus or MS, And I fixed 60% of her problems through increasing her food, increasing her water intake, balancing out her electrolytes. And then you got blood work on her, and then you optimized some hormones on her. And there's another 53-year-old lady I'm working with right now who's a nurse that in the, what is it for babies? Can't think of what it's called.
NICU.
Same thing, was having constant fatigue. She deprived herself. She lost quite a bit of weight. She stuck to what over the years, what got her to lose the weight. But now over time, because she's been so low caloric, it's affected other things. All we did is increase her food, increase her water, balanced her electrolytes, supported her thyroid with some over-the-counter supplements. We just checked her in today. All of her levels come up and she's feeling 100% better, and she's down 7 pounds.
And that's the thing, you know, at some point the body has nothing left to give. And when you're stressing the body out too much by being calorically restricted or even obsessing over food because you're thinking about it all the time or thinking about, you know, you probably beat yourself up if you eat something bad. Like, you have to have a positive relationship with food. And it has to be done the right way. Otherwise, it is going to backfire because it's going to further downregulate thyroid function, and thyroid is the metabolism. And especially as females, we have to be really careful of getting out of the mindset that we have to weigh a certain amount, because the scale and the BMI measurements just aren't the right way to do it. It has no relevance of body composition and fat to muscle mass. But then also, we have to be careful of depriving ourselves of making sure that we get the nutrients that we need. And the thing is, it's not, since we're lacking the micronutrients from food with the way that food is processed and everything else now, a lot of times people are going to need supplementation to get those micronutrients. And I think if we remember, like, let's start small and have a bigger impact.
If we go back to those three clients, and we could even name out some more, I would tell you the common denominator in every one of them is they were doing what they knew worked for them in the moment to get them where they were at, because each one of them had needed to lose some weight. They were able to get some weight down, and they just kept doing what helped them get to where they were at. They didn't have enough knowledge or know what they needed to do to change now that their body composition was different. And so they just kept sticking to it, which then ended up in our chair. And then we had to re-educate them on quite a few things. How to look at food that you don't starve yourself, optimize your hormones, and do everything else with that if you truly want to change the body. And that's where we started out and opened up with, was why nutrition and educating yourself, even spending some time in investing in a dietitian to teach you that, is very important to truly not only get to where you want to be, but to maintain what the money you've spent and the goals that you've achieved.
And I look at one patient that we've had that's been off of the GLP for over a year now and hasn't gained a single pound back. And I look at, this is where it's beautiful to have these tools in our tool belt, because we get addicted to certain foods. We get addicted to sugars. We get addicted to certain foods. And where the GLPs are very, very helpful is they're really helpful at quieting what I call the food noise. The noise that makes you like feel like, oh, something's calling my name, or like when you get stressed out and you want to have food. A lot of people have this food chatter in their brain, and the GLPs do help with that. So when you're doing it in conjunction with a clean eating meal plan, you learn to train your body to crave the healthier foods versus going to the cookies, the sweets, the salts, whatever it is that you pick when you're stressed out. You break the addiction, and it can be very helpful when done the right way.
Correct.
And so you can utilize both together. You're learning a new way to eat. You're learning how your body works. You're having somebody support you through that process. Because as I started with this, it's so psychological. It's probably 80 to 90% psychological. When people are holding on to fat and they can't break the weight, sometimes they're not dealing with a deep trauma, a childhood trauma, a sexual trauma, whatever the case may be. And you have to really work through that psychologically, because fat is a protective mechanism and people use it to protect themselves.
Right.
And they also use food to comfort themselves. So there's a lot of generational things that need to be fixed when it comes to what you eat and how you eat. And so it's not just a one and done overnight quick fix. It's truly reprogramming your mind and your body, and it will serve you in the end, because when you eat the right foods, you upregulate the right neurotransmitters, and you have positive responses to that with releasing dopamine and serotonin at the right time with the right foods. And it just does your body so much better.
When you bring up a very good point, think about this for a second. Let's say you're someone who constantly salted your food a lot. And then all of a sudden you want salt-free. Your food's going to taste boring and bland, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're so conditioned to having salt on your food. Now, the opposite then flips away. Let's say you're someone who never salted your food, and then now you start salting your food. Initially, you're not going to like the way the taste because it's just too salty. But then over time, you start to enjoy the salty food. Mm-hmm. The same thing with sugar. As kids, depending upon how you were fed, how your parents fed you, how many times you ate sugar, sugar is super addictive, but also it's very sweet. So then when you go to things that aren't so sweetened, you're not going to like it. You're going to go from sweet potatoes that full of brown sugar and cinnamon, then you just try to eat them plain with a little butter, they're not going to taste the same, even if you add just the cinnamon, because it doesn't have that brown sugar to it, until you just start eating them plain. So you're right. The GLP does knock out that food noise. Then over a period of time, you're eating a cleaner, more balanced food. Then when you want to go back and you want to have something, junk food or something like that, your body doesn't like the taste of it. So you're not too inclined to then do it over and do it over and do it over again, because the first time you're doing it, I don't remember, that didn't taste as good as I remember.
Oh my gosh, how many times have I been like, I can't eat that. I can't eat that again. I remember it made me laugh like the first time that you ever prepped me. And I was like, I have to have chocolate after dinner. And you're like, what? And I was like, no, I have to. It's something I've always done. And you were like, no, you think you have to. And I was like,
no, I do
have to.
Because I was born and every night I would get chocolate before I go to bed. And I'm like, that's just, you just trained your body to do it. You know, it's a necessity. I
still like my chocolate, but I will say I can't eat milk chocolate or white chocolate. It has to be dark and it's definitely more bitter. But yeah, like I like a lot of things without stuff. Actually, you're the one that actually likes to top things more than me now. It's crazy. Like my body is switched.
That's because, that's funny, is because for whatever reason, I'm one of those people that on the GLPs, I want to eat everything. Like for most people, it slows down their digestion. They're not as hungry. I can literally eat all day long.
And that's because GLP stands for glucagon-like peptide, and it's something that we naturally have occurring in their body. And so sometimes everybody's physiology is different, and this is where I get a little concerned with going to a place that doesn't have the support system for you, because I have patients that were very like on the, like the cusp of being diabetic. They had an A1C of 5.9. All the markers showed. So at the time when I started prescribing tirzepatide and Mounjaro, this patient actually qualified for the old regulations for getting Mounjaro over the counter. And so I like to save patients money when I can. So I ordered her the Mounjaro and she started at the lowest dose and she was so sick. I felt so bad. It's the only patient that I made really sick. And it's because her body couldn't handle it. I also now have a patient and now we go really slow. We titrate really slow, really low dosing. And this patient can't go above 10 units, which is even less than half of the lowest dose, standard dose for a pre-filled syringe of Mounjaro. And she still can't tolerate it. Right. And so it's really interesting. Like you can't, everybody's different. You're the second patient that I've had that gets hungrier. And that just means your body is utilizing the glucose much faster. So your body's asking for more. And that's the other thing you have to make sure, even if you're not hungry, you still have to eat.
Right.
Not eating and muscle wasting is extremely dangerous. It's not good for your bones. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your skin. And it's the wrong way to lose weight, because as soon as you come off, you will rebound and you don't have to. We've had patients come off for a long time and not gain a pound back. And I'm not even lying. And so it's really important. And we talked about something earlier, and this is where having a professional helps, because if any of you were talking about people were doing it a certain way and they had results, if anyone starves themselves a couple times, they're going to have results. But then the body gets used to starvation and it's okay, I can't do this anymore. Or you go on keto or you try intermittent fasting. A lot of things will have a small window where they're efficacious, but if they're not right for your body and your physiology in that day, your body will end up revolting and you're going to actually go backwards and you're going to start to store fat. And I think that's where people get dieters fatigue or feel like they're going to fail because they're not really sure how to go about it. And that's where pulling labs and really understanding how you got to where you got is really important, because I'll be honest, there are even some days where me and you are like, all right, we need to fast, and we fast. Learning what your body is asking you to do in having that intuition of what your body needs and intuitive eating, I think is probably one of the best things someone can do.
Yeah, and I talk about this a lot, and I'll leave this here, but the body, remember, cannot distinguish between the extreme side of undereating, which is like bulimia, anorexia, the busy person who is busy and ignores their hunger because I'll eat a little bit and they just, I got to get this done, or the dieter whose mindset and what the majority of people have been told is you need to burn more than what you take in. But nobody's ever said, what is that? What is too little? Like I said, we know what the extreme side is, the bulimia, anorexia side. We know that, okay, they go. But if you really think about it, in all three cases, with all three of those, what happens after about 4 or 5 days if you've been under eating too long? Everybody ends up binging on something because they can't take the hunger signal no more, because that ghrelin signal fires out and says, I'm hungry. And all three people are saying, I'm not going to eat for whatever reason they're going to give. But the body doesn't know which version of you it is, but the response is going to be the same if you just continually ignore it and ignore it, which means you become a fat store, not a fat burner. Like I said, but at some point, all three people also break because they can't handle the hunger pains no more. And they end up binging on things that they shouldn't have ended up eating in the first place.
And you say that, and also then the body will, if they are diligent enough and can go beyond that binging, then the body's just not going to be hungry, and it's going to further fat store because of protection.
Correct.
Because it's going to keep the fat. When the body feels like it needs to keep the fat, it's going to keep the fat, period. Even if you're overtraining, or like you said, or overdoing cardio or whatever. And that's the other thing. Like, you talk about ghrelin. A lot of people don't realize that if you're not sleeping and you're not getting your full 6 to 9 hours of sleep that we need, if you are waking up in the middle of the night, say you have a little bit of low progesterone females and you're waking up and you're having some hot flashes, your ghrelin signal is not resetting, which chances are is going to make you hungrier throughout the day. If you think about it, any night that you've had sleep deprivation, you're probably craving carbs because the body hasn't been able to rebalance in its circadian rhythm. So it's really important, like we've talked about this whole time, we want everybody to have the success. It doesn't mean that our way is 100% the right way, but you have to think about why you are where you are and how do you get out of it and do it in a safe, healthy way with people that are in your corner to support you.
Jen dropping some nuggets of information there on some progesterone and sleep and ghrelin. Look at this stuff. Just going back and recapping, this is why we put nutrition at the forefront of everything that we do at Precision. It is every part of what we do. It's part of the personal training. It's part of, obviously, our medicine side of it. It's part of our skincare on the spa side. Obviously, we have dietitians on staff for the nutrition part, but it's very integral because it is that important to make sure that the money that you are spending, you're getting what you ultimately desire. You're getting the education on how to do things the right way. And not only that, but think about this. You can now pass this down to your children,
your friends,
or you can friends or your family members.
Well, yeah. And, you know, honestly, like, you can be the leader of the people that, you know, they say you are like the top five people that you hang around with. But I also want to remind people that people that are healthcare providers took an oath to do no harm. And the best way to practice medicine is the most least invasive approach with the best patient outcome. So therefore, that means a lower dose of medication, maybe mitigating, not using medication at all, mitigating all the, you know, risks and versus benefits and all of that. So just really take that into consideration, because a lot of people are making a lot of money off of these GLPs, and the money might be the focus versus your health. And I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying you have a right as a patient, or even as a client, if you go work with a trainer, to have full autonomy and ask questions, and don't worry if they get annoyed. If they get annoyed, they're not the right person, because this is a partnership. You can't expect someone who you talk to for maybe 2 hours a month or whatever that may be to truly know everything about your physiology. Be sure that you're a good historian and not a poor historian. Tell them everything. Think of everything that you can think of. And I'm going to leave you guys with this, because a lot of people don't realize how big gut dysbiosis or gut dysfunction is and how it can show itself in a variety of ways. So if you have chronic fatigue, digestive problems, trouble urinating, acid reflux or heartburn, vaginal or rectal infections or itching, food intolerance, gas and bloating, inflammation and aching joints, acne, skin irritation or psoriasis, These all may be indicative, plus weight gain, of gut dysbiosis. So just think it through and really think through what's been going on and be honest with yourself. And just remember that by setting yourself up for success is going to take a lot of small steps with a lot of support.
Great knowledge. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Younger by the Minute. As always, you can follow us on, I'm at the Jamie Spicer and Jenna's at the Jennifer Spicer.
Our links are all below in our contacts. Thank you all for listening. And we are happy to have you listening. Have a great day.
Tap it out.